Turn in God's holy word to the book of Job and to chapter 28. It's the chapter of our study in our sermon today. Job chapter 28. We read all of this chapter. So this is Job himself speaking, and he's speaking about wisdom. Surely there is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Man puts an end to darkness and searches every recess for ore in the darkness and the shadow of death. He breaks open a shaft away from people. In places forgotten by feet, they hang far away from men, they swing to and fro. As for the earth, from it comes bread, but underneath it is turned up as by fire. Its stones are the source of sapphires, and it contains gold dust. That path no bird knows, nor has the falcon's eye seen it. The proud lions have not trodden it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. He puts his hand on the flint. He overturns the mountains at the roots. He cuts out channels in the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing. He dams up the streams from trickling. What is hidden, he brings forth to light. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. God understands its way, and he knows its place, for he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens, to establish a weight for the wind and apportion the waters by measure. When he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Amen. Well, let us turn in Job, in the God's word, to Job chapter 28. We're considering this whole passage today, this whole chapter in our study of God's word. Is there a right way to live and a right way to die? It is such an important question, and yet it's a question many people in this world simply do not think about. So many just live from day to day without asking themselves, is there a way I should be living? And am I living that way? At least part of the reason for people not asking themselves those questions is that there's no consensus today on what a right way to live is. The most popular philosophy of our post-modern age, or as some say, post-postmodern age, is that to a large extent, everybody has freedom to decide what is right for them. And no one has the right to impose their view as superior to the view of anyone else. That's generally the accepted view today. Everyone has freedom to live as they please, and no one has a right to say that your view is wrong and that other view is wrong. There is an equality of views. Except, of course, those who actually insist on this. They would say that their view is right. They're imposing their view on everyone else who disagrees with them. They are saying, our view is that you can live as you like and you're not to question that view. And so our question should be, why should the view that everyone can live as they please be more plausible than the view that mankind ought to abide by a certain standard, and that that standard is the right standard? This is a subject about wisdom, and it's a subject that has vexed philosophers for centuries. The word philosophy is made up of two Greek words, philo, meaning love, and sophia, meaning wisdom. So that philosophy means the love of wisdom. Philosophers are people who are devoted to the search for wisdom. They're concerned with the questions of how we should live, what sorts of things exist, what are their essential natures, what counts as genuine knowledge, and what are the correct principles of reasoning, in other words, logic. The history of philosophy clearly shows that neither the ancient Greek philosophers nor more recent philosophers have been able to agree on what true wisdom is. There is not a consensus on it. But that is not the case for Christians. All true Christians know what wisdom is. They have found it and they are agreed on it. A fairly large section of the Old Testament is called wisdom literature. The book of Proverbs especially has much counsel on wisdom. The book of Job is also wisdom literature. Chapter 28 is a very informative chapter on wisdom. Job tells us why wisdom is so hard for people to find. He also tells us where we can find it. He tells us how valuable it is once we do find it, and he tells us why it is so important that we do find it. So in coming to this chapter, let us think about these different aspects that Job covers in it. And the first thing that stands out as we read the chapter from the beginning is the elusiveness of wisdom. Why wisdom is so hard for people to find. The elusiveness of wisdom. In the first 11 verses, Job goes on at length to describe the great achievements of men in his day. Man is able to figure out where silver and gold and iron and copper are in the depths of the earth. Often they're in some remote area, far away from people, but man, by his knowledge, is able to find out where they're hidden away and go after them and shaft mines and find them and then produce objects from them, from the ore, whether it's iron ore, it's silver or gold, or copper, and then make money from that. That requires a certain knowledge, if you like, a certain wisdom. Man is also able to devise ways of getting to these precious metals, to extract them from the earth and to refine them. In verse 5, he has learned to make bread from wheat that grows in the earth. He has also discovered all kinds of precious stones. Verse 6, he has the ability to explore the earth and utilize it to his advantage in the way that animals and birds cannot do. Much of what is hidden in the earth, man, by his understanding and knowledge, is able to bring it forth to light if it is his advantage to do so. But, says Job in verses 12 and 13, where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. So what Job is saying is this, that in spite of all the knowledge, in spite of all the learning and all the understanding of men, true wisdom is something they are not able to discover. It eludes even the most intelligent of men. The past week has probably been the most intensive yet in terms of Brexit. There is no question that the men and women of all the political parties are intelligent people. They possess considerable knowledge, and yet we've seen them, the whole world has seen them, floundering in their capacity to use that knowledge wisely. Just as wisdom is about living the right way, it's also about using knowledge the right way. The media have taken the opportunity to accuse the British Parliament of being a laughingstock to Europe and the world. Whatever political position you might hold on Brexit, and there are a wide range of views, one thing that most people would agree on is that the political elite of the United Kingdom have not scored very highly as far as wisdom is concerned. A simple majority of the people almost 3 years ago voted to leave the European Union, and the political establishment just can't agree on or figure out how to do it. And there are even those who would want to prevent it from happening at all. There is no consensus on what is the right way to act. The absence of and the elusiveness of wisdom, and even wisdom more closely associated with this world. It has been the same story throughout the history of the human race. Down through the ages to this very day, all the philosophers and the great minds on whatever subject have not been able to give a conclusive, irrefutable answer to those big questions of life which they ask. What is the meaning of life? No one has been able to answer that conclusively. I'm speaking about non-Christian philosophers. They haven't been able to answer the question, is there a right way to live? A morally right way to live that cannot be challenged, and it is an absolute. No answer, no satisfactory answer has been given by the most intelligent people of this world. What happens after death? Again, in the world, no matter how bright, how intelligent a man may be, no answer that is satisfactory can be given. The answers to such questions are not found by exploration of the earth or the universe or by intelligence. And then also so many problems in society. They are down to this lack of wisdom. They are caused at their root by a lack of true wisdom, the wisdom that Job is speaking about here. This wisdom eludes so many. A bad decision by someone results in some tragedy. If only there had been wisdom, a life could have been much happier and a death could have been avoided. But for men, true wisdom is so elusive. So this is the first thing God is telling us through Job in this chapter. He's speaking to us about the elusiveness of wisdom. Then secondly, from this chapter, we also learn about the source of wisdom. The source of wisdom. And the source of wisdom is described in verse 20 to the end of the chapter. In verse 20, Job asks, "From where then does wisdom come? And where is the spirit of understanding?" Then he answers in verse 21, "It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air." But then verses 23 and 24, God understands its way and he knows its place. "For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens." And then verse 27, "Then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out." The source of wisdom is God. It is God himself. So if anyone is to find wisdom and to know wisdom, there must be an acknowledgement of God and submission to God. Thus, verse 28, "And to man he said, behold the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom." Job is fully consistent with Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9, which says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Anyone who does not fear God will lack wisdom, because the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and it's just the beginning of wisdom. You can't even begin to be wise without fearing God, without having a reverence and a respect for God. You can't live your life the right way without reference to God. And it's not just any God. It's the God of Job. It's the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It's the God of the prophets of the Old Testament scriptures and the God of the apostles of the New Testament scriptures. This is the God who is to be feared. It is this God and him alone who is the source of wisdom. In fact, we can even say more. For when we come to the New Testament, we find that whilst God is the source of wisdom, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the personification of it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verses 23 and 24, the Apostle Paul says, "But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Christ is both the power of God and the wisdom of God. Here we have Christ described in these two ways. And then in verse 30 of the same chapter it says, "But of him," that is of God, "you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." So there again we see Christ described as wisdom from God. To know Christ is to possess wisdom. To be without Christ is to be without wisdom. Let me say a few words to you young people today. You may imagine, some of you here, that you can get along well enough without Christ, that so far life has been much better without seeking him. But it only takes one wrong move, one bad decision, a little bit of folly, for you to pay a heavy price that could affect you for the rest of your life. And even if you continue for years so happy and free without Christ, all the time your heart becomes harder and harder towards him and his gospel, as you more and more adopt the values of this world in your life. At any moment, God can say, right, your time is up in this life. It's time to give account for your rejection of my son. And then, all too late, you'd see what folly it was to have rejected Christ, and what wisdom it would have been to have known him. At the social level also, once God and his ways are rejected, the result will be folly. Why is it we are seeing in society a major breakdown in the family unit? Why are we seeing a rise in violence amongst young people? Why are we hearing of so many perversions of God's plan for male and female relationships? It's because our nation and the nations of the United Kingdom and Ireland have turned their backs on God. Folly, lack of wisdom, turning their backs on God. Government leaders have taken some very good, long-established laws, have thrown them in the dustbin and substituted them with man's wisdom. Laws on marriage, on abortion, unwritten laws on chastity, on the use of language, and so on, all based on the wisdom at one time that is from God, but now have been dumped and replaced by man's wisdom. And the result of that is what we hear about in the news and read about in our newspapers practically every day. A newspaper article covering a story of the rise in knife crimes committed by gangs of youths in London stated that many of the young men in those gangs have fathers in prison, or they're the sons of single mothers. They don't even know who their father is. There's no input from an older male figure into those young men's lives in a church or anywhere else to be an example to them, to show them what a real man is and how he should live. And the result is what we've been hearing about in the news, young men acting violently. Why should we be surprised? If you're going to have a law, written or unwritten, that says there are equally valid alternatives to marriage for bringing up children, then the basic unit of society, the family unit, is undermined. The end result is violence and chaos. Depart from God and the gospel of God in Christ, and you depart from wisdom. But God says through Job, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. God is the source of true wisdom. Keep on God's track. Keep on his ways. And generally, you will not have the problems that we're hearing about in society today. So Job tells us about the elusiveness of wisdom. He tells us about the source of wisdom. And then thirdly in this chapter, he tells us about the value of wisdom. The value of wisdom. And the value of this wisdom from God is expressed by Job in verses 13 to 19. He says from verse 13, "Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me, and the sea says, it is not in me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed in its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold." Verse 18, "The price of wisdom is above rubies." So what Job is wanting to communicate to us is that there is nothing on this earth more valuable than the wisdom that is from God. All the precious metals, all the precious stones of the earth today, worth millions of pounds for a few ounces, can't be compared to the value of this wisdom. What is it that makes this wisdom so valuable? Well, it's so valuable because those who find it find eternal life. Those who find it find eternal life. And to possess eternal life is more precious than anything in this world. Remember what Christ said. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? How easy it is to be envious of those who are materially rich. We hear today not only of millionaires, but of billionaires. And by the wisdom of this world, they have used their abilities to make money and make more and more and more money. They have so much money, they can have virtually anything this world offers them. They are the envy of many people. But not many among such rich people possess the wisdom that Job is speaking about here. There may be a few, but not many. Job was materially rich when he possessed this wisdom. Well, now he has become materially poor, but he still has this wisdom. He knows what it is. The rich man's riches are worthless in comparison to this wisdom. There are many very poor people in the world who do possess this wisdom, and in reality, they are far richer than those who are materially rich. And yet the world does not see this or understand it. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 21 tells us why. "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom," that is through its own wisdom, "did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." The gospel message is utter foolishness to an intelligent unbeliever. He sees no value in it at all. He sees it as restrictive, irrelevant to his needs, lacking credibility. He doesn't believe it or doesn't believe he has any need of it. Such a person approaches the gospel through his or her own wisdom. The world through its own wisdom does not know God, and yet a child here, through listening to the gospel message preached, may believe to the saving of their soul. May it be so. The wisdom of God is revealed to them. And that child or anyone else who believes is rich. So the last question is, do you possess this wisdom? Have you seen its value? The wisdom of God revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Has it been revealed to you, or has it up to now eluded you? Are you someone who can't see it? You can't figure out what all this is about. It's simply about believing. That's what it's about. It's simply about taking God at his word. If you're to find this wisdom, you must go to the source, God himself. You must fear him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Ask him to reveal his wisdom to you, to reveal Christ to you, who is wisdom personified. Ask him to show you what this is all about. This wisdom of God is too valuable for you to miss out on, too precious to lose. The eternal destiny of your very soul is at stake. For you who do know what this is all about, and you do possess this wisdom of God, seek to know more and more of it. Treasure it more than the treasures of this world. For in so doing, you treasure Christ, who is the wisdom of God. And if you are his and he is yours, then you will be living the right way, and you will die the right way. For he is the way and the only way that leads to everlasting life. Amen.